This is the fourth lecture for Unit 1, Basic Computing Concepts, Including History. The first unit, in Component 4, Introduction to Information and Computer Science. The use of the word computer was first recorded in 1613. At that time, it referred to a person who was doing calculations or computations. This term was used all the way up until the mid-20th century. At that point, the term computer began to refer to the electronic devices we know today. Calculations have been performed by humans for most of existence. The earliest evidence of any sort of computation is the tally stick from at least 35,000 BC. Tally sticks are the first tools man used to help with computations. The motivations for these tools, like for computers, was to help speed calculations and make them more accurate. The abacus is often considered to be the first calculator. It was invented by Babylonians in 2400 BC, and there have been many subsequent versions. Other versions were developed in Greece, China, Japan, the Roman Empire, and Russia. The abacus was used for counting and tracking amounts even before there were written numbers. It is still in use today by shopkeepers in Asia and in Asian communities across the world. By the Middle Ages, number systems had been developed. John Napier discovered and developed logarithms at the turn of the 17th century, and William Oughtred used these logarithms to invent the slide rule in 1621 in England. The slide rule is used for multiplication, division, logarithms, roots, and trimetric functions. It was widely used up until the early 1970s when electronic calculators became available. You can still find some slide rules around today. Another type of early computer is the mechanical computer, which used mechanical parts to automate calculations. Often these mechanical parts were gears that turned in such a way that their positions would indicate a result. There were limited operations it could perform, often just addition. The first one was an ancient Antikythera from 150 BC, and it used gears to calculate the position of the sun and the moon. After that, though, mechanical computers were mostly built in the mid-15th through mid-19th century. They only performed simple arithmetic operations. An example of one of these mechanical computers is one that was designed by Leonardo da Vinci in Italy. There were two notebooks discovered in 1967 that showed drawings for mechanical calculators, which were never built, as far as anyone knows. Dr. Robert Curtelli built a replica in 1968 in New York. The photos on this slide show a segment of the notes that showed Leonardo's design and a replica of da Vinci's calculator. The mathematician Blaise Pascal also built a mechanical computer in the 17th century. It was built to perform only addition. About 50 machines were created at the time to add sums of money. The photo on the slide shows the Pascaline machine. Von Leibniz was another mathematician who built what he called the stepped reckoner. This mechanical computer did a variety of arithmetic operations, not just addition. It could do addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and evaluation of square roots by a series of stepped additions. That is why it was called the stepped reckoner. The algorithms themselves for doing these operations were embedded in the hardware of the mechanical computer. This drawing of the stepped reckoner shows how the output of the calculation was observed by the position of the gears. In the late 19th century and early 20th century, mechanical computers became more sophisticated. Charles Babbage designed what is called the difference engine, which is considered by most to be a computer in the modern sense of the word. It was conceived in 1822. By the eccentric British mathematician and inventor Charles Babbage. It was used to tabulate polynomials, which could be used to compute logarithmic and trigonometric functions. It was not built at the time. It was considered too difficult. Modern scientists and engineers have created working models of the difference engine within the past 20 years. One of the earlier difference engines constructed from original drawings is at the Lenin Science Museum. The machine, which was built in modern times, was constructed from cast iron, bronze, and steel, and consisted of 4,000 components, weighed 3 tons, and was 10 feet wide by 6.5 feet tall. Babbage abandoned his difference engine in favor of designing what he called the analytical engine. The designs for this analytical engine included almost all essential logical features of a modern computer. The engine was programmable because it used punched cards. The idea to use punched cards for input for the computer was taken from Jacquard's weaving machines and looms. These looms used punch cards to establish the patterns that would appear in the woven textile. Babbage saw this and thought this would be a great way to be able to program a computer to do different types of things. The computer itself had a store which is similar to the memory of computers today. It held numbers and intermediate results, and it had a separate mill where arithmetic processing was performed. The separation of the store, which is memory, and the mill, which is essentially the processor, is a fundamental feature of modern computers today. The analytical engine was capable of looping, meaning it could repeat operations over and over again. It could also perform conditional branching, meaning it could execute something depending on if a value was true or false. The engine would have been fast if it had been built at the time. It would have needed to be operated by a steam engine of some kind. Babbage made little attempt to raise funds for it. Instead, he continued to work on simpler and cheaper methods of manufacturing parts and built a small trial model, which was under construction at the time of his death. The first programmer is considered to be Augusta Ada Byron, Countess of Lovelace, also known as Lady Lovelace. She wrote the first computer program for the analytical engine. Ada Byron was the daughter of Lord Byron the poet, but was raised by her mother to be a mathematician and scientist. She was translating a text from French about Babbage's machines and added notes at the end, one of which had an algorithm for how to compute Bernoulli's numbers using the analytical engine. If she actually had the chance to work with the engine, had it been built at the time, her notes could have been used as a program for that machine. While these advances in mechanical computers were going on, the U.S. started the National Library of Medicine, which was originally started as the Library of the Surgeon General. One of the early leaders, John Shaw Billings, grew the collection and indexed the material, which was the start of the modern era of large amounts of index data. He also played a role in the development of computers, as will be seen on subsequent slides. Also at this time in the 19th century, electricity was being developed, which helped computers become much more vast and powerful. Mechanical computers had to be very large. Electricity provided a much easier way to represent information by a series of electrical pulses and made the computers much smaller. The first computers to use electricity also still used mechanical gears to do calculations. At the end of the 19th century, Hermann Hollerith created the tabulating machine for the 1890 census, and he did this with prompting from John Shaw Billings, one of the first leaders of the National Library of Medicine. Hermann started the tabulating machine company in 1896 with the knowledge that the U.S. Census would need these machines every 10 years. He sold the machine to T.J. Watson in 1914. T.J. Watson was the founder of IBM. IBM manufactured and marketed a wide variety of business machines, and it added the Hollerith card equipment to its line. Eventually, this equipment card became part of IBM. Like the analytical machine, the tabulating machine used punch cards for input. These punch cards could be used to program the machine, but it could also be used for inputting data into the machine. The version by Hermann Hollerith was patented on June 18, 1887, and used with the mechanical tabulating machines in the 1890 U.S. Census. At that time, these cards were about 90 millimeters by 215 millimeters with round holes. They were produced in this size because it was the same size as the dollar bill at the time, so the storage cabinets designed for money could also be used for the cards. The early applications of punch cards all used specifically designed card layouts, each for a specific machine. It was not until around 1928 that punch cards and machines were made general purpose. In that year, punch cards were made to be a standard size, exactly 7 3/8 inches by 3 1/4 inches, corresponding to the U.S. currency of the day. There were about 143 cards to the inch thickness. A group of such cards is called the deck. Punch cards were widely known as just IBM cards at the time. Punch cards were the primary method for data entry and storage to a computer from about 1900 until 1950. They were still used for data entry and programming into the 1970s until keyboards became the preferred method of input. In the early 20th century, there were several computers that were developed that are now known as the first-generation general-purpose computers. General-purpose computers means that they can be used for a variety of different programs, provide a variety of different types of operations, and can be programmable. General-purpose computers are not created specifically for a single task. The first ones were based on electronically controlled mechanical gears or relays. There were several of these machines created at about the same time. The list on this slide shows the notable ones. Along with the development of computers came the onset of computer bugs. The first official record of the use of the word bug in the context of computing is associated with the relay-based Harvard Mark II computer, which was in service at the Naval Weapons Center in Dahlgren, Virginia. In September 1945, a moth flew into one of the relays and jammed it. The offending moth was taped into the logbook alongside the official report, which stated, "First actual case of a bug being found." This was attributed to Rear Admiral Grace Hopper, who wrote the first compiler and helped develop the COBOL language. The bug story is a bit of a legend. It is not precisely true. Apparently, Grace Hopper was not there at the time, and the term bug had already been in use for a while. When they taped the moth into the logbook and documented it as the first actual case of a bug being found, it was actually just tongue-in-cheek. But regardless of how accurate the story is, it did help establish the term bug to represent a problem with a computer or a computer program. Also at this time, there were a number of general-purpose computers based on vacuum tubes instead of relays. There is the Atanasoff Berry computer, the Colossus machine that was used for German code-breaking during World War II, and the ENIAC, electronic numerical integrator and computer, that was developed at the University of Pennsylvania. This slide includes a picture of the ENIAC machine. As you could tell, it was very large. It was 10 feet tall, occupied 1,000 square feet of floor space, weighed in at approximately 30 tons, and used more than 70,000 resistors, 10,000 capacitors, 6,000 switches, and 18,000 vacuum tubes. The final machine required 150 kilowatts of power, which was enough to light a small town. 90% of the ENIAC's downtime was attributed to locating and replacing burnt-out tubes. Records from 1952 show that approximately 19,000 vacuum tubes had to be replaced in that year alone, which averages out to about 50 tubes a day. It did not have any internal memory, and it needed to be physically programmed by means of switches and dials. An interesting note is that women were the first computer programmers. The computers developed in the 1930s and 40s were developed during World War II, for specific military applications such as ballistic tables. Since men were off fighting in the war, women were hired to program the computers during that time. The first commercially available computer, not one that was developed by and for the government, was UNIVAC 1, which stands for Universal Automatic Computer. It was released in 1951 by Remington Rand. At this same time, Robert Ledley started using computers for dental records at the National Bureau of Standards. This was the first use of computers for a medical informatics application. The second generation computers used transistors. The first transistor was developed in 1947 in Bell Laboratories, and it was made of germanium. silicone transistors soon followed. These transistors were smaller, used less power, and generated less heat than vacuum tubes. The IBM 1401 was one of the first computers made of transistors. The third generation computers used integrated circuits. These computers were known as mini computers. Robert Noyce and Jack St. Clair Kilby invented the integrated circuit. Large mainframes at the time then used integrated circuits to increase processing speed and storage. Many computers, such as the PDP and VAX computers, could be smaller because of the integrated circuit. Integrated circuits were much smaller than transistors, not to mention vacuum tubes and relays. The fourth generation computers are microcomputers. Intel released its first microprocessor chip, the 4004, in 1971 for desktop computers. The Intel 8080 was released in 1974, and it had 4,500 transistors, the first general-purpose microprocessor. At the time, microcomputers were not meant to replace the mini-computers. The microprocessors were a far more limited chip than the mini-computer at the time. For example, the 4004 was intended for a calculator, which was not as powerful as the mini-computer. A mini-computer could handle much larger programs and data. Another group of computers available at the time were called supercomputers. Supercomputers used integrated circuits and were used to perform calculations on huge amounts of data. Cray Supercomputer is a company that started in 1976 and is still in business today. Cray created vector processors that could do operations in parallel. A vector processor is a set of processors, each with its own data set, on which it performs calculations. These computers are very difficult to program and require that data be capable of dividing into subsets. Also at this time, early electronic medical records were being developed and used. Dr. Morris Colin began storing patient data at Kaiser Permanente in the late 1960s. CoStar was developed at Massachusetts General in 1968. It is still in use today, and one of its defining features is its clinical guidelines reminders. Health evaluation through logical processing, or HELP, started at LDS Hospital in 1967. HELP also provided decisional support, such as an automated antibiotic consultant. This tool helped physicians prescribe antibiotics more effectively and appropriately, which resulted in reduced dose cost and adverse events over time. The concepts and plans that eventually became VA Vista were also developed in the 1970s. Vista is a public domain software and was the first that used a graphical user interface for electronic medical record software. It is still in use today.